Take a stand for life. Join Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Robert George, and others for the 2015 LCMS Life Conference, January 22nd through the 24th in Arlington, Virginia. The LCMS Life Conference is held in conjunction with the National March for Life. For more information, click the LCMS Life Conference logo at issuesetc.org. It's your time to stand. The 2015 LCMS Life Conference.
My wife came to me and said, you know, I've got a terrible disease. I want suicide. I would say, absolutely not. You cannot take away from me, A, your presence, and B, my loving privilege to care for you for as long as you live.
The church looks like this grotesque old lady with hair grown out of her face, and we want her to be this gorgeous porn star. There is no way to turn grandma into a porn star, and we shouldn't want to.
The scripture is not a book about me. It's not an instruction book for my life.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, Issues, Etc.
You can celebrate it by going skydiving. They say it's like jumping back into being single. You can go to one of the shooting ranges that's been set up. You could put your wedding dress or maybe your marriage certificate, whatever you want, out there as a target and fire away. You can even get together with your soon-to-be ex and say your marriage vows backwards. Kind of undo what you did before when you said, I do. I undo. It's a new booming industry. It's even a field of kind of therapy and psychology. It's the divorce business. Now, the divorce business has always been big money. There's no doubt about that. Usually the beneficiaries were attorneys. Now, there are party planners for the newly divorced, so you can actually have a party to celebrate as big as you want. You can go to Vegas and blow out all the stops as big as you want to celebrate your newfound singleness. We're going to talk a little bit about divorce celebrations, divorce parties, with Dr. Jennifer Oback Morris here for the first few minutes of the second hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 18th of November. A little bit later, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We'll go over the vocations of the young and the elderly at either end of life and everything in between. We'll be talking about your calling that doesn't wait until you're an adult to start and doesn't end when you get too old to work a job. We'll talk about all of that with Pastor Bill Swirla a little bit later on Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC. Our beloved on-demand listeners can always use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about two issues, divorce celebrations and some recent comments from Pope Francis on natural marriage and the traditional family, Dr. Jennifer Oback Morris, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When did divorce go from being, and I'm talking here kind of the societal stigma, so to speak, when did it go from being essentially a failure that you had to deal with legally to being a success that you now celebrate by going to Vegas and jumping out of a plane?
Well, I think it started somewhere around the time that people decided that marriage was really all about adults and their feelings and not about children and their needs. I noticed the report that you sent me from the BBC about the divorce celebration industry did not have one word about children. You know, I'm just not sure how a child would fit into a divorce celebration. What, we chop the child in half and give half to each parent? I mean, you know, it's part of the ongoing transformation of marriage into something that has no recognition or no resemblance to the ancient meaning of that term.
You bring that up. I don't know of any child, just even laying aside small children, who are too young to understand or often devastated by a parent's divorce. I don't know of any adult children who would want to see mom and dad break up, with very, very few exceptions, much less go and have a party over it.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while I'll hear somebody say that to me, Todd, you know, that, well, my mom's better off. We're all glad she got rid of him and so on and so forth. And usually there's one of two things going on. Either there was some serious problems that would have been grounds for divorce under fault-based rules, you know, if there really is abuse going on or something like that. People forget that it used to be it was always possible to get divorced for cause under civil law in the United States. So yeah, sometimes that's what's going on in the background, but also sometimes the kids themselves have an element of selfishness, you know, about it. You know, well, dad's a difficult guy, so mom's entitled to do this. But even when they're telling me that, you can sense some unhappiness about the fact that, well, dad's such a difficult guy. Obviously, what the child would prefer is that mom and dad get it together. You know, so if mom is better off dumping the guy, what they really would have wanted is for dad to get it together and behave himself. So the whole idea that divorce is something for celebrating is simply another step in the process of turning marriage into something that's completely adult-centered and that really doesn't have any social purpose or public purpose or meaning at all anymore.
So what are your – I mean, someone says, I went to Vegas with one of my girlfriends this weekend. She was having a divorce party. She jumped out of a plane. We went to a gun range. She got a chance to shoot at her wedding dress or her wedding certificate or a picture of her ex or something like that. Maybe a little bit later, we had a cake in the shape of her her ex, and we chopped it up and ate the cake. All the little rituals that they will provide for you for a fee for your divorce party planning. What would you say to such a person?
Well, you know, I would say that is really sad, and I'm sorry that this person feels that's the way they're going to end this period of their life by celebrating getting rid of another person. Even if the other person is a bad deal, celebrating getting rid of somebody is really not a very Christian attitude. You know, we're not supposed to be disposing of people or getting rid of people. And in the worst possible case where you really had to walk away from the person, it's still nothing to celebrate. And so the whole tone and tenor of this wedding or of this divorce celebration business has an element of kind of narcissism built into it, you know, which is that I'm happy and so therefore let's all celebrate that I'm happy, rather than, we were trying to do something good and I failed or he failed or, you know, something happened that I'm sorry about, you know, instead of taking that approach to it, we're all, you know, well, okay, that was then, this is now. You know, I would be very concerned about a person who's doing that. I'd be very concerned about seeing them enter into another marriage, right, because it doesn't seem like they're properly disposed to even the concept of marriage.
We've talked about this before, but I'd like you to just briefly touch upon it, if you would, before we go on to talk about Pope Francis and his recent statements on the family. Often, and it's very often, this is also not a cottage industry, it's a booming industry, the divorce from the males, from the man's perspective, the husband's perspective. You've talked about how it is very often, especially with no-fault divorce, the husband or the ex-husband often ends up getting not just the short end of the stick, he gets no end of the stick whatsoever, that the preference is almost all weighted in favor of the ex-wife in this case. And I would imagine a lot of husbands are signing up to jump out of a plane to celebrate their divorce. They probably can't afford it, right?
Well, let's put it this way. If most divorces are have a reluctant partner, okay? You know, in other words, probably two-thirds to three-quarters of divorces are against the wishes of one party. So when you think about that, then you know that whether it's male or female, whether the reluctant party is a male or female who's being left behind, they're certainly not going over jumping out of an airplane about it, right? The whole premise of it is that they would have preferred to stay married. They would like to stay married and are willing to work on it. In some cases, are very, very interested and willing to work on it. And their preferences just don't count for anything. And so the idea that then the person who's initiated the divorce would turn around and have a big party about it, it's unkind, you know, it's just unkind to take that kind of final dig at the marriage and at the other person, and it seems it's very unseemly in my view.
I'd like your thoughts on a recent gathering where Pope Francis met kind of informally with religious leaders, various religious conservatives, and is quoted in the press as saying that children have a right to grow up in a family with a father and a mother. Given this Pope, the teaching of the Church, what is a lot of people trying to read subtext into or read around those words in the press, but according to what the Pope said, what do you think he was trying to say?
I think he was trying to affirm the ancient teachings of the Church that are obvious to everybody and should be obvious to everybody right up until 5 minutes ago, that children need a mother and a father. And this particular gathering that you're talking about was organized by several organizations within the Vatican. I don't have their names at my fingertips right now, but it was called Humanum. Was the name of the colloquium, the Humanum Colloquium. And I've posted quite a few things on it at the Ruth blog, if you want to go over and look at it. But the Congregation for the Faith and the Pontifical Council on the Family, these groups within the Vatican pulled together a group of scholars to talk about, wait for it, Todd, wait for it, complementarity of man and woman. So you know if people are going to be talking about complementarity of man and woman, that they're going to be affirming the Orthodox teaching. Because anybody who wants to redefine marriage is not going to touch complementarity with a barge pole. You know, they're just not even going to go near that. So this is a three-day event with people from different faiths, people from around the world, talking about the importance of marriage. And sometime tomorrow, they'll issue a statement. And I predict that that statement will be entirely Orthodox, and an Orthodox restatement of the natural value of marriage. I mean, that's why they brought people from all religions, because there's a natural component to marriage that anybody can affirm regardless of their theology. So it'll have theological elements to it. It'll have natural elements to it. But this is a tremendous thing that's being done over there by the Vatican. And Pope Francis opened the conference. He was the first speaker at the conference. And what he said was entirely Orthodox and exactly what you'd expect the Pope to say. And so naturally, you know, the mainstream media is trying to figure out how to spin that, because they would like to deputize Pope Francis as their water carrier for the sexual revolution. But, you know, if you actually read the things he says, he's not going to go along quietly with that role.
What do you make of that with a few minutes here? The persistence of the press trying to take even kind of plain and obvious statements like kids need a father and a mother. That's pretty simple.
Right.
It's hard to spin that one way or the other. And yet try to fit it into this picture of Pope Francis that they are constructing. I think they used to say, you know, it's just emerging. But I think at this point they're constructing it. Of one who wants to overturn the definition of marriage, of family, and essentially, as you said, wants to adopt the sexual revolution's view of both to the exclusion of children.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I don't pretend to know what the Pope is thinking, because he has said some ambiguous things from time to time. But I think we should all understand what the mainstream media is trying to do. Okay, that the sexual revolutionaries have alternately either attacked the Catholic Church or they've tried to co-opt the Catholic Church, because they've recognized from the beginning, Todd, that the Catholic Church is the biggest single institutional barrier to their plans. You know, so whether it's today and gay marriage, or it's 1920 and eugenics and population control, the Catholic Church has been, you know, standing in the way of the sexual revolutionaries and their whole plans. And so if they can make it look like the moral authority of the Pope and the moral authority of the Catholic Church is on their side, oh, my gosh, that's a huge victory for them. That's like capture the flag, you know. So that's very exciting for them. So when the Holy Father makes these statements that are ambiguous in some way, they zoom to interpret it in the way most favorable to their position, right? And so I think it's very important that those of us who hold the Orthodox teaching are equally eager to point to the situations where the Holy Father is absolutely unambiguously pro-marriage, pro-man-woman marriage, pro-child, pro-family, pro-life. And he said he had a big unambiguously pro-life anti-abortion, anti-euthanasia speech a couple of days ago. And that, you know, you saw that in the Catholic press, but you didn't see it anyplace else. So if your listeners would kind of keep track of us at the Ruth blog and keep track of us at the Ruth Facebook page, we try to call attention to this because we think the moral authority of Catholicism, whether you're Catholic or not, it matters where that symbol goes, you know. And so I think it's very important for everybody who has a Facebook page to become part of the alternative media. You're part of the alternative media. You there with your radio program, you know, that's an internet radio program, Todd. We're all part of alternative media. We need to make sure that we're countering the message that comes out from mainstream elite media and make it perfectly obvious that all of us Orthodox believers are on the same page when it comes to man-woman marriage and the defense of life.
Well, while I have you, with just a second or two here, what are your thoughts? The Pope is quoted as saying that I might just be very, very, very slightly paraphrasing him, that euthanasia is a sin against God and creation. I think that was the quote I saw from him. What do you make of those statements on the part of the Pope?
I think that's exactly what I would expect the Pope to say. That's what I would expect a man of the Church to say. It's what you would expect anyone who thinks of themselves as compassionate and caring for the weak to say. I mean, Pope Francis, whatever you think about other aspects of his personality, you simply can't deny this point, that he is very concerned for the weak and defending the weak. And euthanasia and abortion are attacks on the weakest and most vulnerable people. So the real question is not why is the Pope against euthanasia. The real question is why aren't the so-called liberals or progressives against euthanasia? Why aren't they out defending the rights of the weakest and the most helpless and vulnerable people in society? That's the real question.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You'll find a link to the blog and the website for the Ruth Institute at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour on this Tuesday afternoon talking with Pastor Bill Swirlo. We've talked with him in the past about all kinds of vocations that have rulers and employers and preachers and hearers and citizens and husbands and wives and parents and children. There are two more to deal with, actually three more, kind of the catch-all category, the young, the old, and everything in between. We'll take that up right after this. Election analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life.
We had some candidates who thought that if they went into their districts or their states and talked only about abortion and women's reproductive rights, that they were going to win. They thought that was the magic bullet. It did not work.
Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage.
Look at the races where Republicans endorse same-sex marriage. Then look at how candidates did that were Republican, that were champions of traditional marriage. You couldn't be more wrong to say that marriage didn't have an impact in the election. It had a big impact.
Greg Smith of the Pew Research Center.
Among voters who attend church or another house of worship at least weekly, almost 6 in 10 voted Republican. Among people who say they never attend religious services, most voted Democrats.
An angle on the midterm elections you won't hear covered by Fox News, CNN, or NBC. Issues Etc., your comprehensive source for news, information, and truth.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Mary's Song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple. The Issues Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new Arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.